Here comes another.
With the illustrious arrival of Senator Wycowski, Senator Nielsen felt it was appropriate to now get started. Oh, and you too, Senator Pan. Yes. We did. I was trying to start when it was even, Stephen, and my teammates knew when to show up. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me apologize for the lovely aroma and the size of the room. You all know this is a busy time of year, and we could either take this room and go in now or wait for Housing and Transportation with their 27-plus bills to be done. And so we thought it most prudent that we would get started now in 2040. With that, colleagues, we have one trailer bill before us today to be heard, Assembly Bill 118, Transportation. Welcome, Ms. Costa. You want to go ahead and give us your presentation?
Yes, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Amy Costa with the Department of Finance. The bill before you, AB 118, establishes provisions of the Freight Corridor and Advanced Mitigation Programs created in Chapter 5, Statutes of 2017, or SB 1, and encourages more outreach and a more robust program to increase the participation of small and disadvantaged businesses on transportation projects. A few other highlights include that the bill provides a statutory framework to begin spending the $200 million in freight corridor funding provided under SB 1 on the highest priority state and local freight corridor projects. The bill also provides the statutory framework to move forward with the advanced mitigation program provided for in SB 1. This program will create a bank of strategic, high-priority mitigation projects that have been identified in regional and statewide conservation plans. By having these mitigation projects completed ahead of time, completion of transportation projects will be accelerated. The bill includes provisions to encourage, track, and report on minority participation when Caltrans contracts for Caltrans contracts. This includes providing the legislature with a detailed outreach plan by January 1st of 2019. The bill also requires the department to submit an annual report to the legislature on the percentage of entities receiving public contracts from the department. Lastly, the bill provides or requires the department to, at a minimum, achieve a rate of 25% of certified small business participation in state-funded contracts and procurement. With that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Members have questions?
Yep,
I do. Senator Nielsen, followed by Senator Morlock. Senator Nielsen.
Just a few, if I may. The mitigation, I guess these would be mitigation banks or reservations of mitigation areas, is that what we're talking about? Already established areas? Now, is that what we're
being... Yeah, we're talking about setting up, using mitigation that we're already accomplishing, only establishing a bank so that we can do mitigation prior to the project being completed, basically. And then also under the guidelines in the bill, we'll ensure that those mitigation projects serve the overall statewide needs and the regional needs in those areas.
Is that to then mean these mitigation projects or blank bank areas will be all over the state?
They'll be where the project is taking place.
Okay. So there'll be an even distribution then, rather, so rural areas would not just become the mitigation bank for everywhere else.
Right.
That would be one of my concerns. Why couldn't we also add to this some CEQA reforms that would help get the projects done quicker? We've done it. We did it in one county in the budget. Couldn't we do it all over the state? And that would sure make these dollars go a lot further.
Again, I mean, this bill doesn't specifically address CEQA reform, so that would have to be something that would be addressed in subsequent legislation if that was to be. But CEQA reform is not part of this.
Understood. I would simply argue that that would make a lot of sense. You know, when we've had debt disasters, there have been waivers of CEQA that got our roads and highways and bridges back in track, and if we're going to really make the best use of our money, it would seem like, at least in the short run, that would be a positive thing. And that we're talking about one-stop shopping. Could we at least do that, where you go for your permitting instead of multiple facets? Could there be some kind of one-stop shopping permitting? Is that a part of?
That's not a provision of this particular legislation. Again, this trailer bill contains some provisions to implement SB 1, including trade corridors and advanced mitigation, which are funded actually in the Budget Act previously heard by the body.
Mm-hmm. And as when we're doing a project, well, what are the going to be the contractual requirements as far as meeting milestones? In other words, so it gets done timely. Mm-hmm. Will we be doing some monitoring? I understand that there is some monitoring of projects that's going to be a part of this plan. Monitoring, keeping track of, watching that things get done in a timely manner. Who's going to be the? Pardon?
We do, the SB 1 created the Inspector General to basically monitor the use of all the SB 1 funds. So there will be reporting annually to the legislature, and there'll be, the Inspector General has the power to essentially ask for ad hoc information on projects and progress and where we stand. Additionally, the Budget Act itself included provisions for finance, CTC, and the department to monitor where we're the progress on the expenditure of SB 1 revenues and the progress towards completing the projects as set in the budget.
In construction, though, there are regularly the provisions for milestones. That's kind of what I'm looking for. We're going to build this freeway or this overpass. Do we have milestone provisions in it, for example? Looks like we've got the expert here now. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Senator Comey. I just am the Chief Deputy Director at Caltrans.
Thank you.
It is typical for projects as we deliver them to have milestones. In fact, that's how we operate, is to have milestones at every phase of a project. What this bill allows us to do, what this particular language and advanced mitigation allows us to do, is to provide comfort for folks that are looking for us to mitigate. Typically, on a project, mitigations occur towards the end of the project. In fact, after the project's done, that's when you know where you assess where the impacts are. Now, we're being able to totally fund mitigation ahead of that.
I got that.
And so it provides us to then continue to move forward. And so what that does in terms of milestones is you don't have to stop to be explaining to resource agencies how that project's going to be mitigated.
Okay.
And so it does help in the delivery of projects.
I see that that would have a, I guess I'd characterize it as a direct benefit.
It does.
But I'd also like to see the concrete milestones, that by July 15th you'll have this done, and, you know.
Every single project has milestones.
Okay.
For all the phases, whether it's environmental delivery, the final design, right away delivery and construction.
Now, the other part of it is a curiosity to me, that do we have, penalties if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I actually read one of the Caltrans contracts, not Caltrans, but DWR's contracts on Oroville to see, you know, are there some sanctions if you don't get the job done, the contractor, I mean.
Typically, on a construction project, if there is a set date for delivery and it's not delivered on time, there are some liquidated damages that you could have on those projects. But most of our projects get done within the set working days that we set for them.
Okay. Just a couple more. I don't want to dominate.
I'm going to let you continue. I just wanted to follow up very quickly on this. So there's nothing in this bill that would negate your typical practice.
Absolutely nothing in the bill.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. And also, I asked the question in committee, and our wonderful Caltrans director, God love him, answered it. I asked about with our ports. The ports are a big part of our infrastructure that are problematic now. And the dredging was one of the issues that I talked about. There's dredging issues in the Sacramento and Feather River, too, that we need to deal with related to Oroville. But there's provisions in here that preclude in the ports any kind of, I guess, engines, engineering, technology that, as he said, displaces labor. Now, why should we worry about that? Shouldn't our overall goal be to make the ports as efficient as possible? Because we compete in the world market. And it looks like this is protecting one particular group of folks.
I think that the provision that you're referring to has to do with the use of these funds for automation purposes. So there's nothing that would preclude a private company from offering other funds to pay for automation. And I think there are several provisions throughout the bill in which, you know, in the Budget Act, we've appropriated $2.8 billion coming from the passage of SB 1 to ensure that all Californians are reaping the benefits of that investment by working on these projects.
Okay. Last question. Will there be timely referrals or meetings, hearings with the legislature then to keep us apprised of the progress on all of these, projects, the $5 billion every year? How will the legislature be able to keep on top of it?
There will be periodic reviews and reports on how the money is being spent. I think that's provision of SB 1.
Okay.
Do that on a quarterly basis, both at the commission and also to the legislature.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Nielsen. Before I go to Senator Borlaug, we've had members join us. Let's call the roll and establish a quorum.
Mitchell.
Here.
Nielsen.
Present.
Anderson. Bell. Glaser. Jackson.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Mendoza. Monning. Morlock.
Present.
Pan.
Here.
Portantino.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Skinner.
Here.
Stone. Wykoski.
Here.
Wilk.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Senator Nielsen covered my first question, and that is in the consultant's report, it states it would prohibit the funding of projects that include the purchase of fully automated cargo handling equipment as specified. And Ms. Costa said that maybe the port can use their own money to automate the cargo equipment. And so I just want to make an observation that we're subsidizing electric car makers, and they're almost totally automated. Mm-hmm. And yet here we're not moving towards automation on the movement of goods, which is a big issue on my side of the state, mm-hmm. Handling two of the largest ports. So I find it a little ironic. I find a little double talk that on one hand we will and on the other hand we won't. So I just want to point that out. The second item on the report is on the second page, and this is about procurement and requiring Caltrans to develop more outsourcing or at least diversity in their outsourcing. So it requires the department to achieve a minimum of 25% small business participation in state-funded contracts and procurements. But we were just here last week in this committee, and we said that Caltrans can only outsource 10%. So is this 25% of the 10% that we're talking about, just 2.5% of the total activity?
The 10%, it references the A&E contracts that are used in capital outlay support. So we have essentially a policy to, when we're calculating the number of full-time equivalent workforce for supporting capital outlay projects, that 10% of that is budgeted for outside contracting. This is basically saying that of all contracts that Caltrans is using, and that includes maintenance contracts, includes, you know, all of their operational contracts, that 25% of those contracts will go to small businesses. So it's sort of two different things. So of the total of contracts, 25% of those contracts will go to small business.
Okay, so if I look at your total budget, let's say like I look at your total workforce of Caltrans, 20,000 employees, 10,000 are architects and engineers. We're talking about the other 10,000 we would outsource there, or we're just talking about?
We're talking about like in on the maintenance side, like our pavement contracting's through maintenance, regular maintenance. Those are mostly done by local contractors. So those contracts would be, 25% of those contracts would be done through small businesses as defined.
Do we know how much we're talking about? Because I want to make sure that this is serious, not just window dressing.
We under the executive order of 2007, executive order that we've been under for several years now, Caltrans has been able to maintain approximately 25% of small business contract dollars. So what this does is essentially establishes that policy into...
codifies it.
Into statute. It also, because SB 1 is looking to, it will be a large influx of new money, it allows us to then continue to strive to keep that 25% as we continue to grow in size of our different programs.
So to get to Senator Morlock's, I think, point about wanting to make sure that, the 25% is real, I just want to restate what I thought I heard you to say, that under the executive order for the last however many years, Caltrans has been able to meet the 25% level in terms of small business contracting historically.
Absolutely. We've been surpassing the 25% per the executive order. In fact, I think as of today, we're at about 36%. We were at 40-something percent in the past. So we've been over the 25%, just living up to the executive order. This puts it in law. To be clear, I think the issue on the 10%, that deals specifically with our capital outlay support program. Mm-hmm. That's where the 10% comes in. What we're talking about here is the use of small businesses for all of our procurement supplies, contracts that we issue, make sure that there is small business participation in all of those contracts to at least 25%.
Okay, thank you for that. That's helpful. Just to close then, we're being contacted about a bill, AB 1250, which doesn't want to allow any outsourcing or contracting. Does a bill like that override this trailer bill, or how do we deal with the ramifications should that bill be signed into law?
No, I haven't seen the bill, so I can't respond. I haven't seen the bill. So, I mean, you know, there's a whole process in which we avoid chaptering out, because, in fact, we've had some clarification in some of our trailer bills to avoid chaptering out. So there's a whole process by which that happens. Yeah, no, and so... But I haven't heard the bill in committee. I'm not familiar with the bill.
Okay, I'm sorry. Then I'm sorry I brought it up. I thought you read everything.
I do read everything. It's a matter of when, Senator Morlock. Yes, it's a matter of when.
Well, I just see it as all of a sudden, you know, all these contrary, opposite things, and it's all kind of a hodgepodge that you could create some consternation. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. I'm sorry, public comment. I'm moving right along. Any public comment on AB 118? Public comment.
Thank you, Chair and members. My name is Josiah Young on behalf of the California Natural Gas Vehicles Coalition. We're part of a larger coalition of renewable fuel providers and supporters of near zero emission vehicles. We want to thank legislators and committee staff for working with us to remove harmful language directly threatening low carbon fuels. And we respectfully move our position from opposed unless amended to watch. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, Paul Gonsalves representing the Port of Long Beach. The Port of Long Beach executive team has reviewed and are in favor of the language included in the bill, and we ask for your support.
Thank you. Next witness.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. Mike Jake with the Pacific Merchant Shipping Association, and we're unfortunately opposed due to the same language brought up earlier with respect to the automation ban at the ports of California. The language is frankly unnecessary to implement the trade corridor language was implemented in SB 1. The existing trade corridor language allows for implementation of efficiency capacity improvements at the ports without addressing the issue, and we believe that that's appropriate. We also believe that the legislature should be clear that the administration is not being consistent with its approach to zero emissions transition. Right now, the Air Resources Board is pushing very hard on transitioning port equipment to zero emissions by 2030. We'd like to have access to the trade corridor funds to provide incentives to help transfer our operations from current operations to a more zero emissions environment. Lack of a conversation around this issue, lack of consistency around this issue or concern, and we're opposed to the bill in those regards. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Any other members of the public would like to comment on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Jackson?
Yes,
we have a motion on the floor, just to remind members.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you know, we want to try to increase participation to 25% for women, minorities, et cetera. I'm wondering what other efforts are underway at Caltrans to ensure that women, LGBTQ, and disabled veterans-owned small businesses are fairly represented in the procurement process over and above this.
There are additional provisions in the bill, Senator Jackson, specifically. The first provision actually asks that Caltrans report to the legislature by January 1 of 2019 on outreach specifically to the groups that you've mentioned. Additionally, there are some provisions having to do with the department analyzing kind of voluntary data that they receive based on the contracts that are awarded. And there are some federal guidelines, actually, that Caltrans follows to ensure that the procurement process includes diversity. And they are going to increase the number of those disparity studies that they will be performing. Hopefully that answers your question.
Well, do you have any statistics for how the department has been doing with these businesses to date?
So for when it comes to these numbers, we do not do this on state-funded contracts. These are for federally funded contracts where we have these numbers, and we're happy to provide that to your office.
Well, perhaps we can require that they do this for state-funded contracts, too, because I think we're making it clear that we want to increase the participation of these various communities. And if it's voluntary data and you only do it on a federal level, that doesn't help us ascertain how well we're doing on a state level. Would that be an appropriate ask, Madam Chair? No.
Not at this point, in that we've got the language.
There is actually a provision in the bill, Senator.
Okay.
It's Section 7-14110.4A.
All right, so we are putting it in the bill.
Yeah, basically,
good.
We direct the department beginning in 1819 to take all lawful and reasonable steps to raise what we call the disparity indices, but it would speak to your issue where you use the data to look at these indices, and we've instructed the department to begin closing that gap.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, it's been moved. Please call the roll.
AB 118, the motion is to pass. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Nielsen?
No.
Nielsen, no. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Bell? Glaser? Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Monning? Morlock? Morlock, no. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Jackson.
Portantino?
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Roth?
Aye.
Roth, aye. Skinner?
Aye.
Skinner, aye. Stone? Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye. Wilk?
No.
Wilk, no.
Good job.
The vote is 9-4. The measure carries. We stand adjourned.
Nice job, Jerry. We got him.